Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are back here from a great New Year's and marathon weekend trip, but we're recording this one just a little bit early just in case our flights were delayed. It is January and I am in the Midwest, so just making sure we don't miss any episodes here for you. But we've got some great stories headed your way here very soon on the podcast. But today we have listener questions, including a great question about landing at Sanford Airport. You can save a lot of money flying into Sanford, but there's a lot of hidden costs associated with that as well. So these and other great questions on today's show. But don't forget about our sponsors, our great friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Here's the great thing about Days to Go WDW. Right now, currently, I don't have a countdown going for my summer trip because I haven't booked it yet. I'm not sure exactly when we're going down, but that app sits there right on my iPhone. It's ready for my next Disney adventure. So as soon as I put that deposit down, I'm going to the app, resetting my countdown and getting more fun out of this app. I've used it over 10 times and it just keeps making my day every time I have a countdown going. You can do the same. So drop by virtualmickey.com today and download Days to Go WDW. Also, don't forget about our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you do that online shopping, this is the easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. Costs you nothing extra. You get all of your Prime benefits and more. So support the show and bookmark it right there on your devices. Please use BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1274 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. And by the time you're hearing this show, hopefully everybody, most of the lizards are back safe and sound back home with lots of bling and lots of great memories in your heart that you'll have forever. I hope that I am dopey a third time. We'll have to see because, of course, I didn't want to take any chances. We recorded this one a little bit before we left for Marathon Weekend, but we wanted to make sure we had a solid show there in case I am still on all fours crawling around the house and maybe not able to make it to the studio. I don't know. I'm just saying, it's better safe than sorry. I might not be vertical yet. So we got a great listener question show for you. So we'll be back again talking about the fun times we had down at Walt Disney World for New Year's, for Marathon, all the stuff in between. We're going to have a great time talking about that here very soon. But joining me today to get this show out in a timely fashion, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. And you are just now basically getting back to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, back to the wonderful cold weather. I'm sure you're very excited.
It's like a tundra. I can see into the future, pull out my little Karnak hat and envelopes, and I'm telling you what it's going to be like because that's what it's like now. So anyways, but it's nice to have a little break, see the sunshine, do all that kind of stuff. So was glad to have that opportunity. And I guess, we always say this, but it's very true. It's nice to enjoy traveling, but it's also nice to look forward to coming home. So, I mean, I think that if you can do those two things, you're pretty blessed.
Yeah,
so.
I totally agree with you there. But I'll tell you what, these trips in January, especially for like you and I that are coming from really cold places. And right before we left home, I mean, it got brutally cold. I mean, I'm talking wind chills 10 degrees below zero, lots of snow on the ground. And it makes you appreciate even like a 70 degree day down in Florida, even a 60 degree day in Florida more it kind of punches you in the face when you get back. I'm not looking forward to that. That is just not going to be fun. So, but yeah, it does make you appreciate Florida. So even 60 degrees isn't bad.
No, it's not. I mean, when we were packing and I saw like in the evenings, it was getting into the 50s and some nights the 40s, I was like, oh man, I need to really, pack some cold weather stuff. But of course, their cold weather and our cold weather are on different planets. So,
yeah, my wife's actually excited for that because she says, she's more of like a jeans and hoodie or like jeans and a long sleeve tee kind of, comfortable at Walt Disney World. She doesn't see, I'm one that I like it to be like 85. Like I like shorts and T-shirts all the way. But, this is definitely her style. And she says it's better for January because, she hasn't seen the sun in a few months. So she's excited for that.
I get it. I totally get it. Let's just hope the Polynesian is a little warmer when we stop there for Kona while you guys are running the marathon.
Whatever. So. Speaking of that, let's get to the questions because now you're making me mad. No, just kidding. That's, you're out there and we appreciate that. We'll see you under the TTC tracks at about mile four. Anyway, Scott's got the first question. This one I think is kind of interesting because I get this one not quite often, but from time to time from guests at the Magic for Less. And he says, Mike and ladies, quick question. I can fly from my city of Evansville, Indiana, into Sanford on a direct flight at a very good price. Do you know what the best options are for getting to Walt Disney World from the Sanford area? I'm pretty sure cab fare is about $100 each way, as is the town car service. What do you think about Uber? This is a September 2018 trip, so I have a little time. Thanks, Scotty V. All right, Pam, so we get this quite often. You know, I think that... you know, some of your more discount airlines like a Frontier, I know that sometimes they fly there. Different airlines will fly into Sanford. But the thing is, you got to remember is that if you're, you know, wanting to access Disney's Magical Express, you have to fly into MCO, which is Orlando International Airport. So what do you say to folks that are considering just a great steal of an airline fare, but flying into Sanford?
So first of all, I'm going to put out a little caveat there to warn folks that if you're taking like an Allegiant Air, which is not really part of our legacy airline system, in that if Allegiant cancels their flight, you have to wait for another Allegiant flight to fly, not another flight, you know, like if you're flying on American or Delta or even some other airlines, not for, they would put you on another flight. This will not happen if you're flying Allegiant. They do not use the same system. When you look at your contract carefully, you'll see you only need to be put on one of their next flight. And honestly, that could be the next day, or we've had guests be impacted because their next flight wasn't until the next week. So just really, really look at that. Think about that, because it's important to look at that for everything. You know, Southwest has sort of the same, you know, situation in that they often will get you on another Southwest flight, but those flights happen all the time. So it's not, you know, it's not anything like Allegiant. So just, I'm just telling you to kind of keep that all into consideration when choosing that. Now, let's say you've looked all that, you're comfortable with the flight, you know it's going to fly, you're going to take that and you're flying into Sanford. My first piece of advice is check out rental cars and see honestly what it is for even a one-day rental. You're right that the price using the town car or even Uber is going to be kind of pricey for that, but you do not get, as Mike said, access to Disney's Magical Express. So transportation is kind of on your own. To either choose a town car or limo or Uber or something like that. But oftentimes just renting a car for maybe both of your trips could be less expensive than those. So give that a look.
Yeah, one of the things I do when I have conversations with guests about air travel, you know, about getting there before the trip and getting home, is I tell them to consider everything is like, what's the bottom line price? So if you're going to fly into Sanford, take that discounted airfare, but also consider A, your time. What's your time worth? Because it's going to take you a little bit longer to get to the Walt Disney World Resort. But also, like you said, build in that Uber fare or that town car service or, you know, a taxi service, whatever it takes, build that in. So, you know, maybe that discount airfare isn't quite such a discount at that point because you got to build in a little extra time, a little bit extra money for the transportation cost. And also, you know, with some discount airlines, you got to build in baggage fees, you know, where Southwest, if you want to, you know, compare apples to oranges or apples to apples, you know, you're looking at, you know, two bags fly free on Southwest, where if you're on a very discounted airfare, you got to pay for a carry-on, then you got to pay for your checked luggage. And so All of a sudden, you know, maybe it looks like it's triple digit savings for that one airline, but by the time you bring your check in, your check on, and your bat and your checked luggage and or carry on and your checked luggage, too many things here, and you know, build in a rental car or an Uber fare, all of a sudden you're probably saving money on Southwest with Magical Express. It's kind of a convoluted system, but you got to really look at bottom line pricing, I think.
You absolutely do. And you absolutely do. And you have to look at, too, how frustrated are you going to be if you don't show up on the day that you have your reservation start? I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
So for my family, I know that someone would have an aneurysm if that was happening. And it would probably be me, then Steve, then Hannah.
That'd so I got to get there. You know, you can keep me there longer, but I got to get there. You know what I'm saying?
Like, That's absolutely it. My vacation has to start on the day that it's supposed to. It can go longer.
That's it.
But it has to start on the day it's supposed to.
I won't be pitching a fit at Orlando International if I can't get back to St. Louis, you know, in the next hour. But if I can't get to Orlando, I will be throwing a fit in Lambert Airport. I can tell you that. So
it will happen.
Anyway. All right. Dave's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My wife and I have a no kids trip to Disney World this coming April. We're running the Dark Side 10K, Go Lizards, but are not getting park tickets for this trip. We currently have a California Grill brunch reservation for that Sunday. My question is, should we stick with this? Are there other brunch options we should consider? Thanks. Dave's in Columbus, Georgia, 107 miles from Ricky. All right, giving some shout out to Ricky there, 107 miles from Ricky. All right, Pam, I think this is a great one. I saved this one for you. What do you think? They're looking for that Sunday, kind of the celebration Sunday from Dark Side weekend. No kids, looking for a brunch. California Grill's what they have on the books now. Is there something that does better? What do you think?
So there are a few places that have some of these better brunches. You've hit one of the great ones, and it's California Grill. I would absolutely recommend this. I don't think you can go wrong. But if you're just looking for something different, Narcoossee's also has a brunch like that as well, which I think is a great option too. Again, I don't think you can go wrong with either one. I'll give a little bit of a nod to California Grill because I think it's a great experience. Plus, you have that great view looking over at the Magic Kingdom. And while you can see the castle from Narcoossee's, there's nothing like the view from the California Grill. You'll really be able to see the castle and Astro Orbiters over there at Tomorrowland. And, you know, you'll be able to see lots of the building. So I love that view, love the meal there, and go and enjoy.
Yeah, it sounds like two awesome options. Couldn't go wrong there. Now, am I wrong? Did they quit doing the House of Blues gospel brunch on Sundays? Is that still a thing or no?
I think it is still a thing.
That's I really want to do that someday because, you know, I think it's more like I think the food would be adequate, but I think the experience just to have it once, it just seems something very, very unique, you know? So if that's available, sure. I would look at that too. But I don't know if for some reason I thought they quit doing it. I got to look that up. My brain can't keep track of everything up here.
There are so many changes happening all the time. And I think too, you know, when you're looking for brunch, lots of these places, you know, the buffet places have breakfast that goes until like 11 o'clock or so. So that can always easily become brunch in my eyes.
Well, you know what it does? If you're running a race on a Sunday, they're only doing the 10K. Well, not only, but you're doing the 10K. If you're doing the half marathon on Sunday as well, what it does, it makes you run faster because if you don't get there before they break down the buffet, wah, wah, wah. I know Justin on the Lizards has a... and I hope he made it by this point, but I think Dawn scheduled him for a massage post marathon for about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Talk
about motivation to get that 26.2 done because you don't want to miss that massage. It's going to be incredible, you know? So he won't even be stopping for water. The dude will be dehydrated at the end, but he's going to make his massage.
That's right. He's like, I can't miss this. Yeah, that's some incentive.
Good job, Zoe. Way to get dad moving. That's well done, Dawn and Zoe. All right, Mackenzie's got the next question. Hi, Ricky, Pam, and Mike. I'm Mackenzie from Louisiana. I thought Ricky deserved a chance to have her name read first for once when the question gets read on the podcast. Ironic enough, she's not here, but you know, we'll let her know. I'm sure she listens. Also, I feel like I'm not a true fan of the show anymore since I don't know how far away from Pam in Pittsburgh I am, but I am only like 30 minutes away from the Gulf of Mexico. All right. Well, there you go.
You're down
in the bayou. Before I ask my question, I wanted to say thanks for an amazing podcast. I know you guys take a lot of time and hard work, and I greatly appreciate it. I've been listening for about a year now, and you fill my Disney void when I can't be at the actual place. I love listening to the listener question episodes, and now I finally have a question of my own. Way to go, Mackenzie. Here we go. Thanks. In February of 2018, me and my husband have planned a quick 3-day trip to California, the 15th to the 19th. So that's in February. So we are going to try to squeeze in 2 days to Disneyland and 1 day to the unspeakable place of Universal. Here is my question. And I still got to cash in on that Christmas present. I haven't done that yet, everybody, just so you know, that Pam gave me.
Remember, it will happen.
Remember, Ricky got Adventures by Disney. I got Universal. Still hanging on to that fact, just so you know. That might be why Ricky is not on the show. No, just kidding. We are arriving on a Thursday and plan on doing a park that day since our plane lands at LAX at 7 a.m. I know Saturday will be the busiest park day, especially with it being President's Day weekend. what park should we do that day? My original plan was to save Universal for Saturday since we can pay for Express Pass and have a Fast Pass to every single ride. Where at Disneyland, there is just Max Pass, where I can't make any Fast Passes until I arrive in the park. I wish they had Magic Bands like Disney World. So this way, Thursday and Friday, I can rope drop Disneyland and hopefully ride all the rides. Do you think that is a good plan? I would like any suggestions that you can give. Thanks, Mackenzie. All right, so they're arriving on a Thursday at 7 a.m. And it sounds like that they're basically they're looking for the best way to kind of see the most. And she's saying Universal on Saturday. So Saturday is going to be the busiest day. So basically how to attack that Saturday. Do you do Universal with Express Pass, or is Disneyland still doable on the most busy day? Again, it's President's Day weekend. It'll probably be a nut house, but they now have Max Pass. So again, this is kind of a new tech, you know, new thing for Disneyland. But what are your thoughts on this, Pam?
Oh, it's so hard because, yeah, the Max Pass is newer. And basically, it just saves you from running to the attractions and getting those Fast Passes like you used to. In fact, like you used to at Walt Disney World. And actually, I was just saying to Steve this morning, like, I really wish I kind of miss the days of being able to make Fast Pass at the park in the morning. Just saying. And I know people are like, what are you saying? But just for those of us who aren't as organized with our own vacation as we are with the ones that we're planning for guests, I think that we kind of miss those days. But anyways, what I will say is, you know, the Express Pass at Universal works so well that it really helps you power through. So I would use that on whatever day you think is going to be the most busy, because once you have that, you know, it's really just like having a Fast Pass for every attraction, and it's awesome. Max Pass is going to save you some time in that you'll be able to go ahead and, you know, make those Fast Passes from your phone instead of going to each attraction. And I think that's a big plus. That's, you know, one of the things I think that makes it so appealing is that you don't have to run over there, then get the Fast Pass, then look and see your return time and things like that. But it doesn't quite work as well as the Express Pass at Universal does. But that weekend's going to be busy. I mean, just make sure that you have a really good game plan and decide how you're going to attack those parks besides using the Max Pass and the Express Pass.
That's what I would say is that, you know, Express Pass is going to be probably best on the busiest day, you know, because you have that access. But the thing about Max Pass is I think that a lot of people are asking, you know, is it worth the money to get it? And I would say from what I'm seeing from guest feedback, absolutely yes, because don't forget, it's saving you a ton of steps. You know, if you don't want to, you know, I used to be the guy who had to go around, you know, with Legacy Fastpass at Walt Disney World, especially at Animal Kingdom. I mean, this was before I wore a Fitbit, but if I did, I would have filled my ring by like 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, because I was going from here. Okay. And that's, you know, and I was one of those crazy people that I would set an alarm on my phone saying, you know, when like the window opened for the Fast Pass that I could go get one before we actually did the attraction so that I was kind of waiting for two attractions with that 10 minute little bonus window or whatever. So I was always running around getting Fast Passes, collecting them. Then you could use them later on that night back in the day. And that's what I did. And Max Pass allows you just to book those from your phone. Now you got to be in the park to do that. But also don't forget, you get the photos with the Max Pass. And I think, you know, when people are looking, is it worth the money? I say absolutely yes. I think it's, you know, they're going to charge more for it, you know, sooner rather than later. But right now, Pam, is it kind of a no-brainer for people that are going to Disneyland?
I think so. I mean, unless you're going at a time that really isn't that busy, then I don't think that you need it that much. But, you know, I think for most people, it'll be a benefit to them for sure.
All right. Next question's from Elaine, one of my great guests over at the Magic for Less. So glad she wrote in today. Hey, everyone. My husband and I will be celebrating our 40th anniversary at Disney World this year. 40 years ago, we spent 8 nights camping at Fort Wilderness for our honeymoon. What a wonderful time we had. You know what? Let's just stop there. Because think about that. I mean, how cool is that? And I've had many guests do this. Like, they've honeymooned at Walt Disney World, and then they're going back celebrating, you know, a milestone anniversary. And I mean, is that not cool, Pam? I mean, just think about that, because Walt Disney World has changed so much over the course of its lifetime, almost 50 years now. But in a sense, you can kind of, that's one of those few places you can go back in time and still see some things that are still there from, you know, past trips that haven't changed a whole lot.
I think that's what everyone loves about their Walt Disney World trips is that they get to see new stuff, right? And it's exciting. But you also see some of your old favorites, and some things still look a little familiar to you, regardless of how far it's been in between trips. So it's awesome.
Yeah, especially the campground. I mean, that's a great place. I mean, because obviously you didn't have as many choices back then, you know, but I mean, that's it, that of all the places that have probably stayed relatively the same, Fort Wilderness is one of those places. That's awesome. So I just wanted to drop that. I think that is so cool that they're doing this. She said, all we had back then were the Magic Kingdom, the Contemporary, the Polynesian, and Fort Wilderness. So we had a wonderful time renting bikes, touring the hotels and the campground, renting canoes, horseback riding, and several relaxing days at the Magic Kingdom strolling around. Oops, I just took you back down memory lane with me. Sorry, LOL. No, that's exactly, Elaine, you just made my day with this email. I love that. Because that is exact. That makes me smile. Because it's not the Max Pass. It's not the Fast Passes. It's not the, you know, should we go here first, there first? It's that stuff. It's the going there and making the memories, riding canoes together on your honeymoon. I mean, how cool is that? That's awesome. Anyway, my question is today, my husband and I will be staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge for 5 nights. And she says, since my husband is now in a wheelchair, but he can transfer, I'd like to make this trip as easy and stress-free as possible. We would love to get a minivan to the parks and back to the hotel each day. Is that possible? My other question is, what provisions do the parks have now regarding FastPass Plus for handicapped guests? Thanks for all you do with the great podcast. I look forward to each one. Sincerely, Elaine. She's from the Jersey Shore. All right, Pam, so let's address this. What about the minivans? Because I know they do have them that can accommodate wheelchairs, but mm-hmm. I don't know what the current status is as far as ordering those or staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
I think that you have to, on the Lyft app, I'm not sure how you do that, but I think if you talk with Bell Services or the front desk, they can assist you to help you do that. But I think there is a place to indicate that on the Lyft app. I haven't had the opportunity to do that. So, you know, I think that they'll be able to assist, though, for sure.
Yeah. And, I've seen them. You know, they look a little bit different. I think the typical minivans are basically like an Equinox, like a Chevy Equinox. And the minivans are more of a typical van, like a minivan, but not, you know, M-I-N-N-I-E. It's just M-I-N-I. Anyway, but they're bigger, so they can accommodate the wheelchairs and, you know, as many guests as a typical minivan would ride. So, yeah, definitely talk to Bell Services or your hotel concierge. They'll definitely square you away with that. And that would be very convenient. That would be a great way to relax a little bit. What about the other question? Because I think this one has a broader audience out there. What's the procedure for folks that are needing accommodations? They're in a wheelchair, but with FastPass Plus, things have changed a little bit. So what's the general rule for that, Pam?
So with FastPass Plus, you'll be able to go ahead and make your reservations. Most attractions at Walt Disney World, the lines actually accommodate guests who are in ECVs or wheelchairs, and they really don't have a guest assistance pass that deals with people who have that specifically for people who have mobility issues, because they've made those the lines, the queues, and the attractions accessible for most folks. So you'll be able to have access to the same system that we all do about that, and that's how DAS is set up at this point. So.
All right. Sounds great. And have a great 40th anniversary down there, Elaine. That is so cool. I hope to make memories like that. You know, we've only been married 12 years, but that is truly what it's all about. You guys are going to have fun, and I'm sure you're going to slow down and kind of do some of the same stuff. Tour the hotels and, you know, have some nice meals and stroll through the Magic Kingdom. Elaine, when you get back, shoot another email because I want to know how it goes. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. And our audience, I'm sure, is excited about that. We all want that. I think. Don't we all want that, Pam, to go back down memory lane 40 years later? That's so cool.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? I'm banking on it. So.
That's it. All right. Bethany's got the next question. She says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and are about 450 miles from Pam. We're heading down to Disney in December, and we'll only have one evening in the Animal Kingdom. We're going to be, we are going to do the evening Kilimanjaro Safari ride because we haven't done it yet, and it's one of our favorite rides. We would like to see Pandora at night and also see the Rivers of Light show. We have never seen either one. However, we don't think we'll have time to do both before the park closes. We currently have a fast pass for Rivers of Light. If you could pick just one, which would you choose? Love the podcast. Thanks for helping us solve our dilemma, Beth and Keith. So basically, what would you do at night? If you had only the ability to do one or the other, would you go to the Rivers of Light show or would you explore Pandora? What would you do?
Oh, that's kind of a tough one.
It's not for me.
Because, well, okay, I'm trying to be nice.
I was nice. Okay. I was nice pre-Christmas, but I got my gift, so now I'm back to just being me.
So honestly, I would say Pandora is definitely worth seeing at night. It is so spectacular. It actually, to me, looks like a different land, or maybe just enhances the experience so much that I wouldn't want to leave without having seen it. And so here's what I would do. I would go make sure that I spent a lot of time in Pandora, checking that out, seeing all of that. The other thing I would really want to do is see the Tree of Life Awakening. I think that's a little magical moment that I think is so spectacular that it really should be on like all the times guides, all the entertainment guides and things like that. But it's just a little show that happens on the Tree of Life. You get the best view if you can see it right from the front, although they do projections, you know, on the sides a little bit too, but right from the front, I think is the best view. And it's really one of those things, you know, if you have seen the pictures of Tower of Terror being changed into a gingerbread house and all those things at the holidays, this is really the Tree of Life's opportunity to be enhanced with some of that technology. And I love that show. There's actually, I think, four or five different little projections shows that will be put up there throughout the night. So if you can stop and see a couple of them, I think they get going and they show every like 10 to 15 minutes maybe. And you can ask the cast member for, you know, what the schedule is that night. Like I said, they don't really publicize it. They don't really publish it on their times guides or put it on the map, but it's really worth seeing. So for me, I'm definitely saying Pandora and the Tree of like Life Awakening.
That is the correct answer. Yes, it is.
Yes, now, it is.
Here's the thing, and this is why, I don't know. I see on social media, and this is just a commentary on society, not with our audience, but with social media in general, that people feel, I feel this, that people feel like everything has to be geared towards them. A lot of people that are very vocal on social media, again, not talking about our audience, but I see this quite often, where, okay, Rivers of Light is totally not my thing. For some reason, I've seen it a couple times. It is not my thing, but I see people on social media that love Rivers of Light. And the thing is, I'm so cool with that. I love that because, you know, if you've listened to the show for the almost 10 years that we've done it now, I've used the term different strokes for different folks many times over the years because not everything is going to be geared to every person. You know, I love that some people love Rivers of Light. Personally, I'm a person who likes, you know, to really feel Disney. You know, like when I'm down there, like I love Wishes. I love Happily Ever After. For some reason, Illuminations isn't real Disney, but it's like the environment of the whole thing. And I first saw it during the Millennium Celebration. So I know that's what it is. It tugs at nostalgia for me more than like the Disney, you know, characters, the Disney stories and so forth. Rivers of Light really does a good job of bringing to close your day at the Animal Kingdom. I get that. You know, it's very much in touch with the theme of the park and the goal of the park. I see. And it's beautiful. I'm not dogging on the show. It just doesn't. It's not as exciting to me as the other nighttime spectaculars. I guess I need stuff to blow up. You know, I need fireworks. I need crazy stuff. That just says something's wrong with me. But I'm fine with other people loving it. And I'm saying I could, you know, if I never saw Rivers of Light again, I would not be. I have no problem with that. Pandora at night is something to experience. Like you said, the projections, though, on the Tree of Life are awesome. But I think, you know, if you have the opportunity to lose yourself in Pandora outside of even the two attractions, you know, sit down and have a dessert or have a meal in Santuli Canteen, go into Wind Traders and just look around at the unique merchandise. But more than that, be outside and see that waterfall, you know, coming off of the floating trees and see the bioluminescent plant life and take pictures and touch things, you know, because when you touch things, a lot of things are interactive, you know, and I think, you know, I think you're going to get more out of 2 hours wandering Pandora than the 20 minute Rivers of Light. I don't know, Pam, wrap it up. I mean, I like what you said, but I mean, I think you get to, you know, you can have a meal, you can get to see things, you can kind of shop, you get a more full experience. I think, I don't know if you really like Rivers of Light though, that might be something that sticks with you forever. I don't know. There's really not a right or wrong answer.
There is, and it's really just opinion, but I just feel like Pandora is such a unique experience that I would really rather do that. I think that Rivers of Light has very pretty music and it's very pretty floats, but for my time, I would really like to see Pandora. Now, the other thing you may want to consider is if you can do a Rivers of Light dining package or get Fast Pass for Rivers of Light, you may be able to squeeze both in. I'm not sure, you know, we won't know the hours yet for that, right? Because she's traveling in a while. But look at the park hours and see whether that's something that, you know, you'll have a little time before or after so that it, you know, once it gets dark. So something to think about.
Or she just traveled, but this is all moot. But anyway, no, it's good. Okay. It's a good argument to have. So really appreciate it.
I know. And then, of course, I'm anticipating next year.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. I mean, we get so many emails. We do the best we can. We're not perfect. We get that. So, okay. So
tell us what you chose.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah, let's know what you picked. I'm sure it was Rivers of Light after I said all that. Right. Let's see. Laura's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. After 13 months of planning, we are only 6 weeks away from our first Disney trip. After making our FastPass reservations a few weeks ago, the planning blues have already started to set in. I've definitely caught the Disney bug. I started looking ahead and thinking about our next trip and realized we may be able to make two more trips in the next 365 days following the first trip. So you know we're going with this. Look at this. Uh-huh. Is this not a Disney fan? Look at this. She's making. Think about this, everybody. Here on a Wednesday, she hadn't even made her first trip when she wrote this email. She's already got the next two planned. Okay, that's yeah. You're bit by the bug. So welcome to the club. Thank you, and we love having you here. With that many trips, I know it would make financial sense to upgrade to an annual pass. However, I don't want to make the financial commitment until we've been on our first trip for a couple of days. Just in case we don't end up loving it like I think we will. I plan on getting Memory Maker for this trip, but I'm wondering if they will apply that money towards the annual pass when we upgrade since it's part of the annual pass benefits. Thanks so much for all your help planning this trip. Your podcast has turned me into a Disney addict, and I'm unbelievably excited to finally get down there. Sorry. I don't know if she should use the word turning people into addicts. That makes me kind of worried that the DEA might show up at my door and be like, is this the BR Guest podcast? What are you talking about? I have no idea. What's a podcast? So no, we're not turning. We're aficionados. Let's go with aficionados moving forward.
That's right.
Anyway, she says, thanks, Laura. She's in Nashville, Tennessee. She says she has no idea how many miles from Pam that is, but she was born and raised down the street from Space Camp USA. So there you go. Rocket City down in Huntsville, Alabama. Love it. Roll Tide. All right, throw that in for Scott. All right, so Pam, what's the status of if you purchase Memory Maker as part of a package and you upgrade to an annual pass, what do they do with that? Because you basically get a double Memory Maker. What's up?
That's what you basically get, a double Memory Maker.
You get twice the memories, twice the cost.
That's right. It is. That they are not able, Disney's not able to take two ticket mediums, which is basically what you're asking them to do, whether you take, you know, the price of your ticket and another ticket. Sometimes people will have two old leftover tickets that they want to apply to a new ticket. And that just is not something that Disney can do. And that's basically what you're wanting them to do with this and the Memory Maker cost. It'll just, you know, be another bonus. Now, here's the thing. And I have not tried this out yet, but if you had already had Memory Maker purchased, but you did not use it to download yet, and then you got the Memory Maker with your packet or with your annual pass. I'm not sure how that would all work. I honestly don't. In theory, it seems like you could save that Memory Maker for another time, but honestly, I would say get your tickets with your package, upgrade to the annual pass. You'll probably want to do it on day one, and then you'll get those pictures included. So, and here's the other thing, and we've had reports from lots of VR guesters who have told us this, that once they, even when they upgraded partway through their trip, the Memory Maker that came with their annual pass went back to the beginning of their vacation.
Yeah, so. We've heard that many times. And what I always say, too, is, you know, when this upgrade process happens, if it does, and I'm sure it will, just tell the cast member, you know, because even though we've heard that it doesn't work, systems are fluid and things are fluid with Disney. I would say Look, I have Memory Maker on my package, or I've purchased it, I've pre-purchased it on my My Disney Experience account for the $30 savings, or, you know, whatever. I have it. Now I'm upgrading to an annual pass, and I understand that the Memory Maker is included with my annual pass. You know, is there any way to make this so that I'm not double paying for Memory Maker? The worst they can say is, no, sorry, we can't do that. But you never know. I mean, there might be a way that they can work that out and you save your money. So I always ask, because, again, the worst they can say is, no, we can't do that.
Yep, I agree. It never hurts to ask. Just don't be disappointed if the answer is no.
Yep. All right, last question of the day. It's titled Day After DCL. It is from Brenda. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm writing to ask your opinions on what we should do the day we disembark our cruise on the Disney Dream next December. We are frequent visitors to Disney World and want to make a day trip to Kennedy Space Center sometime in the next few years. I have been there once, but it's been many years. My husband and kids, they are ages 7 and 8, have never been there. I'm thinking about going over there after we disembark, since we will be so close. This way we don't have to give up a park day on a future trip, plus get a rental car to go over there. We would spend the day at Kennedy Space Center and then fly home in the evening. The other option, though, is to go to Walt Disney World, spend one night on property, and attend the Christmas party that evening. We attempted the Christmas party for the first time this year, but had a terrible experience. My son and I were both hit with a stomach bug early in the evening and spent almost the entire party at first aid in the Magic Kingdom. We definitely need a party redo visit. Which one would you do before heading home? Thanks so much and love the show. I'm in Chanhassen, Minnesota, which is approximately 887 miles from Pam, but more importantly, it's 1,565 miles from the Magic Kingdom. Thanks, Brenda. So Brenda has me in a pickle here because, man, getting to stay on property even for one night and go to the Christmas party, especially now that I hear that they had, you know, the stomach bug and it was just a terrible experience. When you get that redo, sometimes you appreciate it even more than the first time. So I think that would be great. But she makes great points that when you disembark the cruise ships over at Port Canaveral, you are literally able to see the vehicle assembly building from the ship as you're on the ships there in port. And it's very easy to get over to Kennedy Space Center, and it has changed. I think that from what I've heard, and I haven't been over there since Atlantis was added, the Space Shuttle Atlantis exhibit. But from what I've heard, it's a very Disney experience with it's very thematic. It's very experiential. You know, it's very moving. I hear that a lot of people that experience Atlantis walk out of there with tears in their eyes because of how well they tell the story of the astronauts and the program to get people into space and back safely. So I think she makes good points that as much as I want to say go to Walt Disney World, go to the Christmas party, just purely based on the logistics that you're already there and you can be to the Kennedy Space Center in 20 minutes, you know, and you don't have to rent a car later. You don't have to take a day away from your future trips. I would say do Kennedy. And I think you would have a great full day experience there, you know, going on the tours, maybe meet an astronaut. They do that some days, you know, just check the schedule. I don't know, Pam, what do you think?
It is really hard. Seriously, I was sitting here thinking, wondering what I would do, because honestly, we have not done the Kennedy Space Center. And the reason why is once I'm in that Orlando area, I feel such a pull to go to Walt Disney World that I'm like, okay, I'm going. And it's at times it's almost silly because sometimes we get there and I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do that I haven't done 100 times, right?
Yeah.
but anyways, I think that Kennedy would be really interesting and stimulating and fun, just an all-around fun experience. And you're there, you know, in the right there. You don't really have the opportunity to savor all that Walt Disney World has to offer with that short period of time. And so that's something you want to think about, too. Are you going to be walking away sort of disappointed that you didn't have the chance to do more? You know, those are questions that only you can answer. And I absolutely see the advantage, though, of doing the Christmas party, having that fun, just soaking up the atmosphere and being fun with that. So I'm not going to help in this at all because I honestly would have a terrible time choosing. We just kind of laid out kind of the things that maybe help you think about it a little more, if not help you choose.
Yeah, so. I think the thing is that I think the biggest worry for me if I was in Brenda's situation here is that I went to Kennedy Space Center and I was disappointed. Like, I had an opportunity to go over to Walt Disney World, stay a night, go to the Christmas party, and we went to the Kennedy Space Center, and it wasn't a good experience. However, I'm trying to give her some encouragement from what I've heard. Again, I haven't made it over there in the last few years, but it is now, from all accounts, and again, Jay and a lot of folks that go over there can drop by the Facebook group and just give us some feedback on this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm hearing that they've added so much and they've really kind of taken cues from the Central Florida attractions to make this, you know, something that you're not going to walk away from in an hour and feel like, well, I've seen it all. You know, they got a lot there and it's really deep, you know, and it's very much storytelling and thematic kind of experiences where I think you can spend a full day. I don't think you would regret it. You're already right there in the neighborhood, basically. So I say go to Kennedy and don't look back. I think you'll have a great experience and fly home. And then, you know, that way it's kind of off the checklist. You've had that very science, based in realism experience. And the next time you head down to Walt Disney World, you don't have to say, well, what day are we going to rent a car and drive over to the Space Coast and get that done? Because we still want to do that. You know, you've done that. You're there. I would say do it on this trip, you know, and plus you kind of, when you come into port, you see the vehicle assembly building, you're kind of like drawn to it anyway. Like, I'm always like, I want to get over there because I can see it. You know, you can see it from the top decks. So that's what I do. Anyway, I can't believe I just said don't go to Walt Disney World, but it's only one night and you'll get to go back. So anyway. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's Listener Question Show. Thanks again for all the great questions. Send those in. We need some new ones here at mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Don't forget today's show brought to you by virtualmickey.com, home of great apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And Ricky's not here to let us know what's happening in the news. And we're recording a little bit early, so who knows? But don't forget, you can always get the latest news. I mean, it's updated many, many, many times every day, basically every hour. And it's a free iOS app. So if you got a nice Apple device like an iPad or an iPhone over Christmas or the holiday season, this is a great app to put on. It's free. Can't beat that price. So just drop by virtualmickey.com today and grab Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And don't forget, as you do that online shopping, please support the Be Our Guest podcast. All you got to do is bookmark it, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits and it costs you nothing extra. And it's a great way to support the show. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Don't forget, you can follow the show on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestMike. And we've got an awesome Facebook group filled with amazing pictures and memories from the trip that we just got back from. It's over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Wednesday. We will be back again on Friday talking Disney with you to wrap up this first full week of 2018. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.